Today's Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. We'll listen to an audio Bible.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Today's gospel text is a story of Jesus calling disciples and their immediate reaction to follow him. In fact, there are the parallel passages of this text in other gospels, such as Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20, Luke 5, 2 to 11, and John 1, 35 to 42. Particularly, Matthew and John seem to be at odds about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. They tell a rather different story. John picks up the story after Jesus' baptism and describes how two of John's disciples, one of whom was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke to Jesus asking him where he lived. Jesus said, "Come and see me." And immediately, Andrew became a disciple of Jesus Christ. Then he found his brother Peter telling him, "We have found the Messiah." And Peter went with him to Jesus and became a disciple of Christ when Jesus said to him, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," meaning rock. The next day, Philip and Nathanael were called, and after that, John tells about Jesus' first miracle at the wedding at Cana in Galilee when he turned water into wine as the first sign that he was the Messiah. However, Matthew says the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness after he was baptized by John at the River Jordan. He spent 40 days there and was severely tempted by Satan. When he returned from that experience, he moved to the lakeside town of Capernaum and began to preach almost in the manner of John the Baptist. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." As he walked by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two fishermen, Simon and Andrew, and invited them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately followed Jesus without any questions or protestations. Shortly afterward, Jesus came upon two other fishermen, James and John, and called to them to follow. They too did just that. And great crowds were attracted by his preaching, and they followed Jesus' journey, sometimes hundreds of kilometers. So says Matthew, began the ministry of Jesus to the people of Galilee. Initially, it was successful indeed. Those two stories are different, but one thing is the same in both of them. It has to do with the call of the disciples by Jesus Christ. It was radically different from modern recruiting methods. Jesus was the catalyst in the procedure. He must have been attracted to people so completely, they dropped everything and followed him. There was no involved interview, no presentation of qualifications, no job analysis by Jesus, but simply, oh, follow me. And they did. Anyone who has applied for a job today knows such procedures would never work. The process of employee summon is complex and often time-consuming in the church as well as in the society. I have been and involved in joint nomination committees in our presbytery. The responsibility of the committee is to discern whether God is calling an interviewee or candidate to be the minister to that congregation. I guess anyone who has ever participated in the JNC process knows that the calling of a congregation minister is just as thorough and rigorous procedure as the hiring someone else, you know, any place, any business or industry. It is told that preparing for and going through interviews has almost become a science for personnel people and for those seeking employment. Jesus, however, simply looked at Peter, Andrew, James, and John and said, follow me. That just wouldn't do today. But the methodology worked for Jesus according to the story told by four Gospels. Jesus knew the kind of people he was looking for. And when he saw them, he singled them out and made an immediate decision about their fitness to be his disciples. He was a great judge of character, but he also could perfectly estimate the potential of people to grow and become the kind of people needed for Christian ministry. That isn't always easy to do. Let's look at today's text. Here we could see the movement, travel of Jesus, that he left Nazareth, where he grew up, for Galilee. As you see this map, Nazareth is located here, but he left Nazareth and went to Capernaum around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus started his preaching in the area of Galilee. Why? If we can find the reason why in verse 14. To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Jesus was in Galilee to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. And if you look at the verse 16, Jesus, who is a great light, preached to the Gentiles in Galilee who were living in the darkness and the shadow of death, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven has come near. Have you noticed that Jesus' main preaching and teaching was to proclaim the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God? To Jesus, the kingdom of God meant the rule of God on earth. Jesus believed that God's kingdom would come as God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Of course, the kingdom of God or the reign of God's laws becomes a reality in person's life only when a person chooses to live by these laws. When Jesus said that the kingdom of God has come near, he meant that we are no far from the kingdom when we recognize God's laws of love for God and love for neighbor, and when we choose to follow God's laws as we live each day. Then the text moves on to the Jesus call of his first disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. His call to follow sounds ridiculous. Leave behind their social and economic security and follow a stranger. They have no idea what they are following Jesus for until he tells them, I'll make you fishes of people, which didn't offer much clarity. There are many questions raised by this text. Why these four people? Why fishermen who are uneducated and came from relatively low social classes of Judaism and not someone else? Why was it like for Zebedee, the father of James and John, to watch his children make what probably appeared to be foolish and thoughtless decision to follow a stranger and to leave behind their responsibilities to provide for family and community? What is a parent's response to such choices? I think one of the myths about the God's call is that we have to have skills and be well trained before doing any ministry and mission. Of course, it would be great for us to have a certain skill and training, but that would not become an excuse to God's call. We said, let me reach out to the community. But when we were told to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ with the people in the community, then there were some people who reacted passively. Not me, but someone else who had skills and talents. Not me, because I need to be fed and grown first. I need to get ready. It is a statement on a daily devotional saying, Jesus wasn't looking for equipped men when he chose his disciples. He was looking for men he could equip. And the qualification for Jesus' calling? Nothing. He calls us to a life full of joy, not because of what we do, but because of his uncontainable love for us. Remember when we come to Holy Communion table, often say we come not because we are worthy, because we are strong or ready, not because of any goodness of our own, but because we are weak, because we need mercy and help, because the Lord loves us and gave himself for us. What was the John and James' reaction for the Jesus call? If you look at verse 22, it says, immediately they left the boat, their father, and followed Jesus. Bet you makes it sound so easy for them, you know, at once. They left their nets and followed him. They also left their families, a pretty good-sized fishing business, and their home, and whatever plans they have made for their future. It sounds easy for both Jesus and the new followers. But we have to wonder if it really was that easy. I wondered if as they followed him out of town, they didn't look at each other kind of awkwardly and wondered inside, can I do this? Can I really do this? Where is this going to end up? What about the boats? And what about the family? I have to be honest with you and admit that, you know, I don't know if any of these men questioned any of these. But you never even hints that it happened. He does admit that Jesus asked a few questions later in the Garden of Gethsemane, but none now. So for those who feel I'm going too far with all these ideas, you might be right, but I hope not. I hope there were questions. I hope that the decision to be disciples was frightening, because they did it anyway. The Christians could not stop them. I find myself being stopped time to time and by those kind of Christians and pondered them. Do I have to say this? Do I have to go along with that? Can I really teach them anything? Can I really pull this off? Where do I begin? Do I follow or not? How did I get myself into this? I hope they did ask some of these things because they went anyway. It would mean so much to be reminded that the Christians don't really have the power to stop us and stop me. It would mean a lot. As we reflect on our journey of life and faith, let us ponder our response and our reaction upon the call of God. Are you willing to say yes to the call of God? Can you follow Jesus even though you don't know where this is going to end up? Can you follow Jesus even though you have to leave your social and economic security behind you? Can you follow Jesus even though you have to give up your comfort and your privileges? Following Jesus' call can be hard. We are asked to take risks, to trust, and to step into the unknown. It may require us to admit and face our fears. Yet, we remember that we belong to God, the one who asked us to follow in faith. I believe that with the help of God, we can do anything in Christ.